Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is the ESADT call on the 10th of September 2012. On the call today, we have Cheryl Longdon-Orr, Roosevelt King, Yao Viatahun, Yuri Lantipuro, Alan Greenberg, Avidoria, Tijani Benjamin, and Rudy Vansnik. We'll have Carlton Samuels join us at quarter past. We have apologies from Olivier Crepin-Leblon, Alejandro Pizanti, and Joe D'Arcy. From staff, we have Silvia Ivanko and myself, Matthew Peregrin. I'd like to remind all participants if you say their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Yelvin.
Thank you very much. As my colleague Euro said before, we agree that today's call I'll be playing the role of pen holder. So we continue with the agenda, and then I will give the floor to the chair of the group, Cheryl, for introduction. And
no,
before we move to the... Yeah, thank you. Cheryl, you have the floor.
Okay. I normally don't in these drafting teams, but I'm happy to do a brief fill-in. In terms of the introduction, it'll be even less than 2 minutes if you give it to me. The plan today would be to follow on from where you left off at the last call, which will be, I gather, for... first of all, Yurio to pick up on the items that were discussed, specifically Rule 2 and 7 at the last call. I do have 8 points. I might put my hand up at that point and raise a matter. Obviously, then we dive into the remaining of the rules already identified for any effect on... appointment, selection and election. The other thing is, I guess, Yalvi, you might want to call for any other business.
This is Yalvi speaking. Sometimes it's a bit difficult for me to understand, but I'll try to follow. So now we are on number three of the agenda. As you know, have a number of roles to review or to work on in this group, like Rule 2, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 27. So before we continue and set in on the agenda, I'll give the floor to my colleague, my colleague pen holder, Ro, who will take us or give a brief review of what we have done during the past call, especially on Rule 2 and 7. A brief review. So I'll give the floor to my colleague, Euro, to talk about it. Thank you. Euro, you have the floor.
Thank you, Yavi. This is Yuri Lansiporter for the transcript record. Last time, as you said, we tackled Rule 2 and 7. Before that, however, we had a short discussion on the general approach, and no decisions were made, but I understood that the group, those present, were leaning quite definitely towards one of the two options. And one option is, of course, that we go through these rules one by one and try to tweak them, but basically our end product is similar to what we have now as far as the structure is concerned. The second approach, option, which I felt that was more supported, would be that we really try to consolidate these rules governing elections, selection, and appointments, and try to make better sense of it than the present situation is now, and that of course requires quite a lot of cooperation also with other drafting teams. This being said, it was, however, we decided that we start by proceeding, start by reviewing each rules and try to see look at the elements what are the useful elements, what are the not so useful elements, and what pieces we have from which to construct the end product, which is hopefully a little bit shorter and also a more sort of logical than the present one. On rule number two, I think I was clear that we want five officers, five people, one from each region, and that instead of a rapporteur, there should be another vice president. Also, the two-year position for the chair was there was a lot of support from that, and of course, the chair is the only one that needs to be elected, and then you know with the others we are free to use whatever methods we want, but the chair has to be elected. There's I think that Alan said that there should be in these rules, there should be as little detail as possible so that we have flexibility. So that basically what we have is like the sort of general type of laws and then regulations, how to implement them. I very much agree that the present rules, and that applies also to those we are going to tackle during this call later on. They mix all sorts of things, and we should really try to bring more sort of analytical clarity to them. There was some discussion of the suggestion made by Sergio the role of the railos in the election process, but it was said that we don't want really sort of two classes of ALEC members. I mean those selected by railos with more power, and then the NOMCOM attendees. There are only one class of ALEC members. Then we went to rule number seven, other appointments, and of course perhaps we should discuss a little bit more of what those other appointments are. We come to that, of course, also when it comes to rule eight, which we are going to have later on. There was, I think that again, Cheryl stressed that we should use consensus whenever we can, and that elections are not really necessary for all positions. I think I'll stop here. There are a couple of hands up, so. Alan, please.
Thank you very much. I put my hand up when you were talking about the officers, and a couple of points. First of all, the subject has been discussed heavily in the meetings in the Judy's design team, and I can put a pointer to the conclusions we've come to so far. I'll put it in the chat in a moment. One of the points, however, you said that instead of a rapporteur, there would be another vice chair, and I think that's not likely to be the outcome, at least as far as the recommendation of the duties and the responsibilities or duties and metrics group, in that we are suggesting there be one or two vice chairs, but probably not more. And really, the only difference between the vice chair and the unnamed positions in officer positions. By the way, we've also changed the name officer, or at least suggested it be changed. is that the vice chair is making a larger commitment of time, and having the different designations makes it easier to recruit people who may not be able to put a full load into it, but you know do want to participate. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I can see also the hint of Roosevelt. So, Roosevelt, you have the floor, please.
For the record, I was a little concerned about your statement that the rule should be as simple or less detailed as possible. And then, what, you're having another, I'm just trying to clarify and probably discuss. Then you're going to have an interpretation of the rules document. Is that the intention? Is it that you will have two documents, or you will have one document where you will have the interpretation of the rules and then or interpretation and then the rules or whichever?
Just one other point.
My concern is that the sketchiness of the rules, we are having problems in La Crado with the sketchiness of the rules. Sorry. And the sketchiness is kind of inviting different interpretations. And you have a meeting of different cultures and different languages. And I think you need to be clear and very clear so that it's understood by all languages and cultures and that there are no misunderstandings or ambiguity that could arise. I suspect that if we may be getting problems, that others may be getting problems, even if not as deep problems as we are getting in La Crado. But certainly this matter of rules and interpretation of rules must be addressed comprehensively so that we can arrest a lot of what is happening in La Crado. I think that the basis of the problem is in the structure of rules. And then.
Roosevelt, did you finish?
Yeah. Yeah, Uriel.
Okay. Yeah, we're speaking. I want to say that I was not able to follow some part of your intervention, but I want to summarize, and then I'll ask my colleague Ro to add if I'm missing something. My understanding is that you are saying that we have to be careful about the language we are using so that from each region everybody can have the good understanding. And my answer, if it is the case, is this is what we are saying, that we will try to put the document in the simple language that everybody can understand. And this exercise we are doing is to come to an agreement. So this is my answer. So I'll ask my colleague, Ro, to talk if there is some point I didn't get from your intervention. Thank you.
Thank you, Uriel Ansipura, for the transcript record. To answer Roosevelt's question, first of all, one or two documents, that is to say, rules and then another document, interpretations, or just one document, that's, of course, up for this group to decide. But if you ask for my preference, I would still like to keep everything in one document. But somehow, using footnotes or annexes, whatever, but I would somehow try to create more clarity so that when you take one rule, like for instance, let's say rule 9, I had to read it several times to understand what it was, because it mixes all the time various levels of information. It presents the basic schedule, but at the same time, the various exceptions come up all the times, and I just hope that could be written in a more understandable fashion. I think that there have been some like Maureen, for instance, has commented earlier in the wiki that these sections really should be simplified. Thank you.
Thank you. I can see Alan's hand up. So Alan, you have the floor, please.
Thank you very much. I'll give one or two examples of the kind of things that were being talked about when we said keep the rules simple. In one of the RALOs, in the North American RALO that I belong to, there's a current rule that although it doesn't list Big Pulse by its name, it almost implies that Big Pulse must be used for elections. And I personally think that that is far more specific than it needs to be. If you want elections held by a secure way, protecting privacy or whatever, that needs to be specified. We shouldn't be specifying things at the level of what supplier to use or even whether it's, you know, an online web-based election or something else. We need to specify what we think is important. The ALAC, at the time, if it chooses to use a different methodology than today we think is the best one, presumably these are going to be intelligent people. We want to put the rules in place so that they have guidelines, so that they have principles that have to follow. But implementation details, I don't believe, need to be specified. You know, so if we say, as Uriah was saying, that we want to say officers are selected or other appointees, selections includes elections. If at the time some position needs to be appointed, we decide there's so much competition that we want a real election, the ALAC can always choose to do that. But we shouldn't be mandating things here which are not crucial to the outcome. So that's the kind of thing I think that people were talking about. And, you know, I support it. Does that mean that one particular member of the ALAC or one RALO may not be happy about a direction that is taken by the ALAC at some time in the future? Yes. But if the ALAC, by majority or by consensus preferably, makes a decision, then that's what we expect them to be doing. They're not just rule followers. They need to be thinking about what the outcomes of their decisions are. And we don't want them to have to needlessly think about process all the time, but they should have flexibility. So from my point of view, that's the kind of thing we were talking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I could not see no more hands up in my room. I don't know if you from your bureau, you can see some other hands up in the Adobe.
Yes, all good, yeah.
No?
All good, yes.
No hands.
Okay. Thank you very much. So let's move to the next point of the agenda. As we said at the beginning, we have to review Rule 8 and 9. And what we have to do is not necessarily to keep the same structure as we said, but we, as a reference, we have this rule to go through. So rule number 8 is talking about qualification criteria for appointment. And to make my introduction, I can say that before risk number 8, we said that some of the points or the part of this document can be considered by other drafting teams. So this one, rule 8, is talking about qualification criteria for appointment. So I just give the floor to Alan, who is up, want to talk about this rule. Alan, you have the floor, please.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, I understand why this rule made its way into this group's section, because the term appointments is in the title, but I think it generally falls under the duties responsibility, and certainly the duties group has talked about it significantly. The link I already posted will point to the direction that group is going in terms of responsibilities and duties. And I don't think there's any additional work this group needs to do other than look at it and make sure that in the minds of this group, we're not saying anything stupid. The work is not quite complete there, in that we have a list of prerequisites and responsibilities that may not be complete, because we haven't looked at it to say, did we leave out anything? But it's getting firmer. So I suggest you do look at the link I already posted that will show the direction that group is going in.
Thank you, Alan.
Cheryl has her hand up.
Oh, Cheryl, please. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you, Yavi. Cheryl for the transcript record. Yeah, Alan, you picked up on the point I alluded to when I was doing my impromptu introduction. It dawned on me as I was moving my brain through the various forms of what each of the drafting teams were doing that, of course, as the duties and metrics have Rule 5 and 6 under their mandate, of course they should have Rule 8 as well. But what this particular team needs to do is be aware of not only 8, but 5 and 6 as well as 8. And I suspect the other team, the duties and metrics, will be taking a bundled approach to those anyway. So thanks, Alan. You picked up on the one thing I thought might have been a little bit of errata, which is probably absolutely and positively all my fault anyway.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
What we might need to make sure is if we can ask staff to ensure that the workspace for both teams have interacting links. We keep an eye on what's happening in the other drafting team's workspace and vice versa. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. I cannot see other hands from my room here.
Alan,
do we have any?
Yeah, my hand is up again. It's Alan.
Alan. Go ahead, please, Alan.
Yeah, just one comment. What we should have done earlier in the meeting is point to the final template that has been drafted. Cheryl or I can put, or staff can put up a pointer in the chat. And what the template is was a first attempt at what the new rules might be, not necessarily the details, and certainly need to be refined, but what content the new rules will contain. And I hope, although I don't remember for sure, that the delineation between the sections was made clearer there in terms of what would be coming from one group and what would be coming from another. I'll just point out, though, that there's a lesson to be learned from this whole thing. The current rules have things like qualifications scattered in about 12 different rules. They're mentioned during the actual selection process. They're mentioned when the person is described, and they're mentioned at a random place which doesn't seem to be connected at all. So hopefully we'll come up with something, we, the overall group, will come up with something that's a little bit more logical and self-contained, and one doesn't have to read over a 25-page document, every line to find out things that should be grouped together. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. No more hands in the chat room?
No hands at the moment.
Thank you. A personal comment is that when I was going through the rule number 8, I had the same feeling that maybe it's something that another team will take care of. And I have a comment about definition. Like see a 20 in this number, the section number 8. So my comment is that I don't know how the draft duty and metrics team will work on this section, and I don't know if we have to put talk about appointee, that is something that we need to also define in the definition and structure section. So when we talk about appointee, we have to be clear who are we talking about. When we name appointee, who are we talking about? And there is a document also sent some time ago by Alan, and which presents almost all the rules and comments, and that is a very useful document. And then this is my comment. So I'll try to be also participating in the other group so that we all remember what we are saying when going through this section. So this is Rule 8. I don't know if you have, there are more comments about Rule 8 before we move.
It's Alan. My hand is up. I can try to address the question of who are we appointing, but I don't think you're going to like the answer. The answer is anyone for anything. We're coming up with generic rules now. We appoint liaisons, which are very carefully defined people for some groups, but the ALEC also will appoint people to a variety of things. Sometimes there are cross-community working groups where we need to identify someone specifically representing us. The AOC review teams, various task forces and other groups that ask us to put a person in who will speak on behalf of ALAC. So we can't define in the rules what the positions are because they change over time. And we're coming up with a generic set of processes by which we will fill appointments, and we may fill them by different processes. The details may differ depending on exactly what the characteristics are. So I don't think we can be more specific about who the appointees are other than they're people that will represent ALAC and at large in various groups. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. My point was not clear, but you answered what I wanted to say. I just wanted to say, if you talk about appointing, what is the decision? And you just exactly answer the question stuck in my hand. Not asking for defining the various positions, but if you talk about appointing, you just answer to my concern. So I don't know if you have another hand. My Adobe is a bit slow. This is why
Cheryl
all the time asking. Yeah, Cheryl, please.
Thank you, Abby. Cheryl, for the record. Yeah, look, just to follow on from Alan, the duties definition of space is going to be talking fairly specifically about some of the different job descriptions, the larger impost being on some positions, such as obviously chair and the members of the leadership team, the ABAC leadership team. They'll also be talking about the expectations of all 15 people of the ALAC. But they will also be talking about the expectations on anyone the ALAC appoints. And that's where that whole term, appointment, will then be able to be referred back to as to whether or not we're talking about an appointment to a bylaw mandate and liaison role in a support organisation, such as the GNSO or the CCNSO, or whether we're talking about an appointment to an ad hoc meeting group, whether we're talking about an appointment for a longer-term commitment that's external to the ALAC and at large, and into some other part of ICANN. But that's sort of taken care of in that duties and expectations and definitional section. What we need to focus on is how such appointments are made, and the concept is to come up with things which are as clear, as concise, and as workable for a group of volunteers as can be reasonably expected. And at the moment, we've got probably more rules than we have effective positions, which I think is kind of what Alan was referring to as well. So the fact that an election is a form of selection process, we just need to think in a sort of a hierarchy. And going back to Yurio's early points, we are, of course, our hands are tied in the fact that the ICANN bylaws say that the ALAC will elect, not appoint or select, but elect the chair. Okay, fine, we'll come up with a process which works there. And, of course, the at-large selected board for seat 15 member for the ICANN board has a process which is a bit of a bubble because it's a process that is in its first iteration. It has a review that is also required once it's had a run or two, but that particular process had to go through a community grown mechanism, albeit perfect or imperfect in the outcome. It is what it is, and it has been approved by the ICANN board as the methodology that applied for the current holder of seat 15, and then with some sensible modifications and lessons learned will no doubt apply to the second round as well. But after that second round, it's actually required to have a full review. We actually can't tweak that too much. What we can do, and I know, Yurio, I warned you and Yavi that I'd say this at the meeting, but I'll say it now rather than later. What we can do now is make sure that the language used in that rule is clear, understandable and unambiguous, and at the moment I'm not sure that it is. So we do have a little bit of work to do on how that rule is written, but not so much on a recreation of the methodology. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Yavi?
More?
Yavi?
Alan? Who is speaking, please?
Tijan?
Yes. Yeah, Tijan, go ahead, please.
I tried to raise my hand, but it doesn't work here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you, Yaudi. I wanted to say that this drafting team is about election, selection, and appointment. That means that it is about the process of selecting, electing, and appointing. It is also about the criteria for the selection. So I do think that this rule number 8 is. Has to be worked by this drafting team, and even if it is overlapping with another work of another drafting team, it doesn't matter. But I think that this drafting team has to address the criteria for the selection, for the election, and for the appointment. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I can see Charles' hand up.
Yeah, it's your real answer for the transcript record.
Role, please.
Yeah. The Rule 8, as it's now, is actually of two things. I mean, there are some qualification criteria here. And what I understand by qualification criteria are pre-criteria, that is to say, things that a person has to show or show up before being considered for an appointment. But then the sub-rules here deal with expectations, that is to say, how these people should behave when they have been appointed. And I think that however this sort of qualification criteria is being treated in the final version, I mean, as Alan pointed out, they are now scattered in many places and could be consolidated, that a differentiation is also made between these two things, pre-criteria for someone to be appointed and then how they actually should behave when they are appointed. Thank you.
Thank you, Ro. Who is speaking?
Tijani.
Tijani, go ahead. Sorry, before you talk, I just want to mention that my Adobe is sometimes slow and then difficult for me to see something. So, Tijani, go ahead, please.
Thank you, Elvi. It's exactly what I wanted to say. I want to say that those qualification criteria are perhaps not the right one to put here. Here we are talking about the criteria for appointees, for selected or elected people, the criteria that are needed to be elected, needed to be selected. We don't have to put here the expectation, as you said, Yuru, and I agree with you, but we need to work this rule number 8 and change it in this way.
Thank you, Tijani. I can see hand up.
Alan.
Alan, please.
My hand isn't up, but I do have something to say. The only hand up right now on my screen is Tijani. I guess I want to remind this group that the division between the working groups, as we found, is not very clean. And therefore, what we need out of all the working groups is their beliefs, their thoughts on something. Now, each working group will draft sections that try to map to their things. It's almost sure that when we get all of those four sections, we're going to have to take those and rework some of them because we will invariably end up with duplications because of the division of responsibilities and more important, the overlap in responsibilities. So, I don't think we need to agonize over the definitive answer, but we need every group to look at things that fall in their domain and give opinions and try to draft language, which then may have to be merged and massaged to come up with a single document that makes sense when someone's reading it, who doesn't care what the drafting teams were, but wants a single document. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. I have a comment is that what we have to do as also members of this team is to be sure that during our discussion, some of the aspects of the portion of the document that we are supposed to work on or we think we work on, we have to be sure that it is taken care by the group we are posting it to. So just to say that it's not a big issue at this point. If we say that like Rule L will be considered another group, I want to say that at the same time we have to be sure that this is the case that members of this working group are also part of other groups. So we'll be sure that what we are posting to other groups, they are working on it. And as we all said, we have a final document. And at the end, that we have to be sure that we didn't take something. We don't forget about the session that a group is supposed to work on. And at the end, I think that if there is something missing, we can bring it up again. So as Tijani said, we should normally talk about this point number 8 qualification. And my conclusion, personal conclusion, is that if the group the group is supposed to work on it, we didn't see this as a result of this group, so we'll draw their attention because we have at the end a one document that needs to have all the information. This is my comment. I cannot see hands up from my
Alan,
Adobe.
Alan, and
Alan, please.
And Chiril.
Alan, please.
Okay.
My hand is not up on my screen. I'm not sure what Tijani's seeing.
Okay,
we seem to have some delays.
I still see
Cheryl,
Cheryl, hand up.
I see Tijani.
Okay, Cheryl, please.
I see Tijani and Cheryl.
Yes, thank you, Yovi, Cheryl, for the record. And in fact, I see Tijani and myself. So I think we're getting a delay out of Africa. But that's okay. We can work with that. We might just have to interrupt occasionally. That's all. So there's hands up. Because it looks like Yavi isn't able to see the changes, and now Tijani's seeing it a little bit slower. I put into the chat the link to the the current version of the master template, recognising that the master template is a work in progress. It's meant to be a repository for completed bits as each drafting team finishes a bit and agrees on new rules that meet the section they're working on. They're to post, the pen holders post them across to here, so we have a running tally of what's completed and what needs still to be done. I've then cut and pasted in the chat that it's unformatted, unfortunately. The current listing of things that this drafting team should be tending to. And you'll see it's very much along the lines that Yurio was suggesting in the first place. In other words, the existing rules that we have listed aren't particularly referred to at all. And that's because we would assume that most of them will be aggregated, tossed out, remodeled or put into a new form that is so unsimilar to what we now have that there's no point in listing the current numbering in that at all. But if as many of you as possible, either during this call or before the next call, have a look at that template workspace and note the very important last bit, which is other things as discussed by the drafting team, and put those forward to Yavi and Yurio, we can get that modified as well. Some of the things, such as the discussion on current Rule 8, and then one would argue if we're going to go into Rule 8, we should go into 5, 6 and 7, and I'm not suggesting that we should, by the way, I'm just saying one could argue that way. We probably need to stick just to the amount of ensuring that in a process for a selection or an appointment or indeed an election, that any requirements or criteria that are set in the duties and expectations are what Yurio called the pre stuff, are in fact ratified. So it's probably appropriate, for example, that should a criteria for a liaison to go to the GNSO or the CCNSO or a liaison indeed to go to the ESAC have a requirement, and each of those do, that they have such a person to be appointed should have a experience and solid understanding not only of ALAC and at large, but also of the place that they're being appointed to and the work that group will be doing. Should that stay as a qualification or a criteria, then it's probably appropriate to sort of have that ratified or checked. For the other thing, I guess, which might be an easier example, is if there is something in our rules that says to be appointed to a particular work group. Let me use the example of how the Finance and Budget Subcommittee used to be structured. If an ALAC of the future was to come up with another standing subcommittee, it may wish it for some very good reason to be populated by members of the ALAC. So an appointment to that, whatever it is, called subcommittee, excuse me, probably would need a quick ratification that the people, the names being put forward were members of the ALAC. If a work group or a subcommittee requires people to be either a member of the ALAC or a representative of their RALO, then we probably need to have in our process a check that says, you know, oh, they are in fact not only members, but one would hope even active members in some clear representational sense of the RALO, or have been put forward by the RALO. So that'd be two ways of getting to the same tick in the box, I guess. I think that's what we should be focusing on. Thank you.
Thank you. Cheryl, I can see Alan's hand up in my on my screen.
No.
I'm not sure who's putting my hand up, but it hasn't been up for a very long time.
Thank you, Alan. I think we can continue talking about ROAD if necessary in the meeting space. I would suggest that we move to the next rule, that is rule number 9. And in the current document, it is talking about procedure for the presentation of candidates. This is what rule 9 is talking about. I just open the floor if you want to talk about this rule number 9. So I can see on my screen Alan and Cheryl.
Well, my hand isn't up, but I was going to put it up. Yelvi, I think your screen is frozen from a long time ago.
Thank you, Alan. So go ahead, please, Alan.
On my screen, for the record, Tijani has his hand up, and I don't know whether it really is up or not.
No.
Okay,
rule number 9 has an awful lot of details in it, and I think we need to go through it with some care and look at which details we really need to include there. And guidance is important, but first I think we need to make sure that the end points are what we want. For instance, in the duties and metrics group, we've talked a fair amount about when the chair is elected, because that falls into a lot of the prerequisites and responsibilities, and the feeling was pretty strong that should be done prior to the general meeting. So going into the general meeting, if a chair is changing, the chair has an opportunity to work in parallel with the old chair. So, some of those things, I think we need to look at it as the end points and then work backwards. That's number one point. Number two point is to echo what Cheryl has said innumerable times. In the very first paragraph, they say the ALAC will issue an election call for any appointments. And clearly we want to get the election word out. So it's not implied there is a formal election if indeed we're going to be determining something by consensus in at least some of the cases. So that's all I was trying to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Alan, please.
I see no hands at the moment. Cheryl has a tick mark.
Cheryl, for the record, I was agreeing, as I often do in these drafting teams with Alan. It's kind of scary, actually, Alan. We have to stop doing
it. I'll try to disagree with you once or twice.
I was going to say, perhaps we shouldn't try doing that too much until after the drafting is over. Rule 9 is the quintessential example of why we need to make things simpler. It is an extensive and convoluted set of rules within Rule 9. But yes, we certainly need to make sure that that it's clear that the various appointments, whether they're the chair of the ALOC or whether they're an appointment to represent ALAC and at large in a work group, internal or external, is appropriately dealt with. For example, it would be deemed, I would believe, by a average person of good intent and reasonable understanding of how ICANN and ALAC works to allow the ALAC at its meetings to simply discuss some names that are brought forward at the meeting, recommendations made by the ALAC members themselves, and put forward names for various roles in various positions. You shouldn't have to go through, a two-month process, for example, to have someone appointed as an official representative of the ALAC into a work group or a study group or whatever. There are other things, such as the chair of the ALAC, which probably needs a far more specific set of processes, but not just because it is, at the moment at least, required to be an election, but because the chair of the ALAC is a job that not only has huge responsibilities, it has enormous expectations on it, at least at the moment. And we would certainly want to be assured as a community that whoever is being put forward, appointed and indeed elected by the ALAC in any two-year period as the chair was the best possible person for the job, from the possibilities that could stand, of course. And I guess the same would be said for the rest of the leadership team as well, because these are simply not only time commitment but representational roles where the expectation is that these will be someone who speaks for us all. And so the trust we put in that also, I would assume, requires the highest level of transparency and accountability that we can put into a process. Now, that said, it doesn't mean that the process has to be highly complicated, but it has to be clear, predictable, and very, very transparent. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. We have 3 minutes to the end of the hour. I can see Rose hand up. Before he talks, I want to say that this session are very important, and I don't think that we need to rush or to finish everything today. So I give the floor to Rose for this session 9, and then we go to the number 5 on the agenda. So Rose, you have Rose and Tijani. I can see Tijani sent to, and I love it. So Rose, you have the floor, please.
This is Uriel Ansipuro, for the record. I think that this we don't need to hurry because this Rule 9 and 10, in fact, I mean, are quite a bit. And on Rule 9 is. As I said before, I used it as an example of how the present rules now, they mix all sorts of things. And for instance, whatever you call it, election call or whatever, but I mean, it should be one thing, a rule on these procedures should give. It should be, should give a fairly good, one glance, outline of the process, like it's now election call, nominations, election summary, discussion, and the vote. Whatever we come to should be presented in such a clear way, and then the various exceptions somehow should be, in footnotes or someplace else, but they. And I think the same pretty much applies 10 when we come to that. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, it's Alan. I have my hand up. Just one quick comment.
Go ahead, Dana.
Okay. I think it will be useful if we can get more comments on the wiki on these rules ahead of time. It's far easier to have a discussion when we're agreeing or disagreeing with someone than to come up with abstract thoughts at the time we're doing this meeting, especially for such long, complex rules as the ones we're looking at right now.
Mm.
So, the only purpose of your comment may be to get everyone to disagree with you and say you're crazy. That gets us farther ahead than
just the general talk about how are we going to approach it without actually looking at the substance. Because sometime we have to start looking at the substance, and I would suggest that input on the wiki, either in the general place or under each of the rules, because there are very few comments right now, would be a good place to start, you know, start putting your thoughts down. So, thank you. Cheryl has her hand up.
Thanks, Alan. I think that system that Avery suggested, that the last person to speak should note any other hand is up, particularly while we have connectivity problems, it's at least one of our pen holders is a good one. I just wanted to respond sort of in two ways. First of all, I want to just have a second point on the issues that looking at the existing rules, particularly 9 and 10, and how we should approach those. But before that, I just wanted to respond to Avery's concern. We are very careful to keep saying that election is a valid form of selection. But we do not, at least in the other drafting teams, feel that election is the only way any appointment or any and all appointments can be made. And I guess that's where it has to be fairly carefully written. But just to your concerns, Avery, about, someone being able to bully or control an outcome, let me see if I can get your a consensus means a few can capture as long as everyone is bullied into silence. If that was happening, Avery, then the ALAC at that time, the 15-person strong advisory committee, that dynamic would affect everything they did, not just their own appointment to their own leadership roles. And their appointment to whatever other representational roles are going on at the time. So if that was happening, I would say that would be one of those points where a recall of representatives to the ALAC would be enacted. One of the reasons that the definition of and expectations of what it is to be an ALAC member needs to be carefully articulated. And the words along the lines that I've heard in some of the drafting teams working on that will be, acting in the best interests of and putting consensus views and committee of the whole outcomes ahead of one's personal opinions and making sure that when speaking on behalf of the ALAC, it is clear whether you're speaking as an individual to your own interpretation of something, or whether or not it is a indication that you believe ALAC and at large would agree with, or you are definitely representing a consensus view, and this is the degree of consensus that was wrought on it. So if someone in the ALAC, or if a group of people in the ALAC were failing to do that, and that would be where this capture would be an issue, then they should be hauled out from being an ALAC member. It's not that we're not recognising that risk, it's that hopefully we'll be able to deal with it effectively in another way. But onto 9 and 10, there are some principles in these that we can probably pick out, Alan. For example, if you are having an election, you need to call for nominees and have people either self-select themselves, which may or may not, you might decide on a process that says self-selection isn't okay, but let's assume, whatever way nominations have to happen, you have to decide whether self-nominations are practical. You have to decide who can nominate if self-selections are or are not. You have to decide, do you require seconding? You have to decide, can a person nominate more than one person? You have to decide a whole bunch of stuff that comes with the process. And I think we can probably articulate those in general discussion terms. And that's what I think, looking very quickly through what 9 and 10 say and picking out, you know, the high principles, important bits like a call for nominations, a opportunity for the nominee to accept if they're, you know, willing to do the role. You want to make clear whether a self-nomination is a nomination and acceptance at once, because I've certainly been in an ALAC situation where someone self-nominated, right, for a role. They were an ALAC member and they self-nominated for the role. This was in the dim dark days of the interim ALAC, I admit, and before the current rules were written. But the rules then talked about the requirement for however many days after nominations closed, the person nominated needed to accept. And to accept, they had to send an email to the list, the announce list, which was the only list they were operating on at that time. And they managed to decide that a self-nomination did not indicate acceptance of the role, and that person was removed from the electoral process. Now, that's the sort of thing we need to avoid by clear rules. Thank you.
Yomi speaking. I'm back. I'm sorry if I was disconnected. I missed some part of the discussion, and my suggestion is that we go to the next item. We keep the discussion on Rule 10, 11, and 27 for the next call, if you agree on that proposition. I said I missed some part of discussion, but this is what I had in mind to suggest, that we keep the discussion on 10, 11 and 27 for the next call. I don't know if there are somebody who disagree, who have another view.
Yes, Yaoundé.
No, that's fine.
No.
Yes.
So, the item number 5 on the agenda is to review of action items from the last meeting. Yeah.
Yaoundé, I have my hand up.
Oh, sorry, Tijani. I didn't see. Okay. Before we move to the fight, we give the floor to Tijani. Tijani, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. It's a general comment. I agree with Alan that the comments that we have to do them on the wiki. And also, I wonder if the drafting operation have started already. I think that we have to draft the rules that we already discussed, and we had some agreement, so that people can verify if the draft done is relevant with what was discussed. If we don't start drafting now, we will end with a very long discussion without concrete drafting. So I propose two things. First, we start to draft, so you propose a text so that we can discuss. And second, we have to discuss the rules on the wiki, and Alan is right. Thank you. I finished, Yavi.
Yeah, I think I saw Yavi say he was disconnected again. Cheryl, here's the record. I've also just popped in the chat something very similar to Jani, and that is that it is perhaps looking at our discussion today and the fact that most of us should have looked through all of the existing rules and have an internal understanding of what may or may not be worthwhile keeping or modifying into a new set, that we task the pen holders with drafting an example set for perhaps an election, and if they have time, another form of appointment, a process. And then Roosevelt was saying he's giving notice that he would like to work on a sum of the rules and submit them as a comment. But what I thought might be useful, Roosevelt, I think that's fantastic, but perhaps it would be good if you either worked with the drafting team on our own list because each drafting team has a list, all corresponded almost directly with Yavi and Yurio, just so they get an idea of the key points from what you're thinking of, and therefore perhaps be in a position to discuss with you and then integrate into what I'm suggesting should be a sample election process and a sample other appointments process from them, which obviously would go to our list and the wiki. Just looking at the list, the chat now, Avery's just raising a point. Three elections by type in ALAC among RALOs and among ALSs. Okay, Avery, I'm not sure which... I might ask you to speak to that, although I know Yavi's back, so he might do that. And among ALSs has me a little... among RALOs and among ALSs, are you talking about... Because these are only rules for the ALAC. They don't have a requirement on the ALSs, for example, but there may be times when we would request our ALSs to participate in a poll or vote, but that would come up via the RALOs. So maybe you could make it a little bit clearer. If not here now, if Yavi doesn't have time for us now, certainly in the wiki spaces, exactly what you meant on that. So from that, I would suggest that an action item on the penholders and indeed on Roosevelt would be to get back to us with a sample process. Over to you, Yavi.
Thank you, Cheryl. Sorry again, I was disconnected and I just followed the last part of your intervention. And Ro and myself, we are open to have also Roosevelt what he calls on some ideas. So we can set time after this call and work through by email or Skype to see what we can do together. I can't see more hands up from my room on my screen here. And as I said before, I would suggest that we move to any other business. But before that, we talk about the meetings, and we were suggesting light time the next meeting for October 1st at 6 p.m. I don't know if somebody is not with that. This is the suggestion for the next meeting. And before that, can hold to do the best to have information from these meetings so that we can more contribute to the discussion. Is there a comment about the next meeting time or date? If not, move to any other business. I can't see hands from my screen. No other business. So, if no other business, with my colleague, we thank everybody for the participation, and then we invite all of us to continue the discussion online through the wiki page. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, everybody. See you during the next meeting. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
We need to work out when the next meeting is. I'll leave that up to Yuria. You might want to get Giesler onto that job then and work out whether it's going to be fortnightly or three.
Yeah, I think that fortnight. I think that we that's what we did discuss during the preparation call, and perhaps is there a need for a new doodle or can we just go by this rotation of these two times?
Oh, hello, yes, this is Silvia Vivanco. I suggest that you send proposed times to Gisela and we can see in the overall schedule of at least
okay.
How
all right.
But hang on, Hang on. Sorry. Sylvia, as Yuria just pointed out, we've got rotation between two times.
Okay.
So unless you want to change day for some reason, why not just rotate the times on a fortnightly? Maybe check with Gisela that it doesn't clash with anything.
That's the point, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, Monday, as now, I mean, it's okay, and then just about we go by that rotation on the schedule.
Yeah, okay. So basically if Gisela can confirm that on a fortnight from now it's not a clash, then okay. If it is, then we might need to tweak it.
Perfect. Okay, well...
This is Natalie. There's no... next week is the new GTLD call. So in a fortnight, there's nothing. There's a space for this call to be at 13 UTC once again.
But it would be a rotational time to, I forget, 20 or 21.
Oh, sorry, yesterday that was it. So that'll be the latest UTC in 2 weeks' time. We're 53, yes.
Yes, so it's to rotate, and it's going to be fortnightly. Okay, well, Natalie, if you and G can just get back to the pen holders to make sure we're fine on that. Terrific.
Sure, thanks, no
problem.
Everybody.
All right.
Thanks, Roosevelt. Look forward to your interventions with the pen holders. Of course, you realise you may end up being a third pen holder if you're not careful. So, be later.
Okay. Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.